reading to you from the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel, first verse. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast, and set him for their watchman, if, when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he bloweth a trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 45 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. This past week, I had the privilege of going into a man's home and introducing him to Christ. He's got a lot of things ahead of him, jail service and all that. But pray that God will help this young man and his wife get their life back together. When I was there talking to him, I could just shut my eyes and I could see my own life. As my wife and I's marriage was on the rocks, there was just nothing to look forward to. It was over. And the Lord Jesus changed all of that. I don't care how many problems you have tonight or how hurt you are. The Lord can work them out if you'll let him. Well, I'll be with you for an hour tonight. Kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a cup of coffee or a glass of tea. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Dear friends, would you unite your heart with me in prayer at this time? Gracious Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, thank you, dear Lord, for that young man that gave his heart to Christ last week. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you have given me to go to prisons. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll help us to be the kind of people we ought to be. And dear Lord, I thank you so much for helping me feel better. I'm so grateful, so thankful. Because I feel like going to the prisons now, and before I was so sick I couldn't. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll help those who are listening tonight with their problems, whether it be financial, spiritual, or physical. And I know, Lord, that you're concerned about everybody. So many times we don't believe that God cares, but Peter said, casting all our care upon you, for you careth for us. I know that's true. Now, Lord, we pray that you would lift up Jesus on your word. Hide me behind the cross. Please, Lord, save that lost church member, that man, that woman that don't know Jesus. In his precious name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, will you turn with me to James, the second chapter? Now, I'm going to read quite a few verses of Scripture, but this is so very important, and it's so misunderstood by so many people that I think you ought to read along with me. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and then one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is but one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works, when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works has faith made was faith made perfect. And the scriptures was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Tonight I'd like to speak on a subject about a faith that does not save. I read in Romans 5:1, Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, friends, this is where all a lot of problems begin in a young Christian's life. Ephesians 2:8-9, We're not saved by works, so that a man can boast. If you were able to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Well, Lord, I worked my way in, then he would have to think, then God made a terrible, terrible mistake when he sent Jesus to the earth to die for you and for me. Jesus came to pay the price for our sins, though he himself was sinless. Now, no one, absolutely no one, can be saved by keeping the law. And I read in Galatians 2:16, Know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. Absolutely, friends, you're not going to be justified before God by observing the law. No one, I repeat, no one could be saved apart from faith in Christ. Just remember that. I know that there's religions and there's churches that say that they can, that their church is their only church, and through them you're going to get to heaven. That's a lie out of hell. Jesus Christ is the only door into heaven today, tomorrow, or the next day. John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Have you ever met people, and I sure have met a lot of them, who said, I'll worship the Lord, I'll worship God the Father, but don't give me this Jesus bit. Listen, what did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Nobody's going to get there unless you know Jesus. A startling statement by James about salvation by faith seems in contradictions to the teachings of Paul. Really in full agreement with Paul, that if thou confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved, for it is with your heart that you believeth and are justified, and it is your mouth that you confess and are saved. Listen, friends, you know, I have a sister-in-law, and I just love her to death. And her and I grew up together. In fact, the matter is, her and I went to the same grade school together. She was 3 grades ahead of me, or 4 grades. But anyway, I'd always go and I'd witness to her. And one day she got mad, and she said, Well, Cecil, what makes you think that I'm not a Christian? Well, I said, I'll tell you what you do. You tell me with your own mouth that you're a Christian. She couldn't do it. The Bible tells me you can't confess Jesus except the Holy Spirit does it for you. So there she was, caught. She could not say that Jesus Christ was her Savior. What is this faith James says does not save? Well, in James 2:14-17, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you say to him, Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. If a man say that he hath faith and hath not works, the emphasis is on the word say. This is a profession without evidence of salvation. I've told you this true story a long time ago, but will help me make a point. I received a call from the choir director of a church that I was a member of, And they said, and he said, there's an old drunk sitting in the church listening to us practicing. Would you come and get him out of the church? Now, doesn't that sound like a good Christian? It was a cold, snowy night. So when I walked into the church, and sure enough, this old whiner was sitting there listening to the choir sing. I sat down beside him, the old man, and said to him, how's things going? I said, not too good. He said, these people can sure sing, can't they? I said, sir, do you have a place to sleep tonight? And he said, oh, I'll find a dumpster to sleep in. I said, man, it's cold out there. He said, I'm used to it. I said, have you had anything to eat tonight? And he said, no, I haven't. So I said, come on, I'll buy you a motel room for the night and get you off in this cold. Now, not one of the choir or the choir director offered me a dime to feed or help this old man. I took him to a nice, well, a cheap motel, but it was a clean motel. It wasn't the Taj Mahal. I paid for his room, and I went into the room with him, and I pulled down back the covers, and he said, you are a nice man. I said, no, I'm a Christian. I shared Christ with the old man, then I asked him to kneel with me beside the bed, and I prayed for him, and then I left. They may have had faith, but they had no works. That's what James is trying to say. The professor of faith shows no fruit or faith. He professed faith. I mean, he's professed faith. Proves no works. Doesn't produce a thing. Like speaking kindly to the hungry but not feeding them. Now, Paul agrees faith in Christ makes us different. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things become as new. One day you're lost, doomed, and damned on the road to hell. You repent of your sins. You cry out, Lord, be merciful. Excuse me. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And salvation causes the old things to pass away. All things become new to those who are born again. And oh, friends, I can attest to that. And I don't like to say this, but it's a true story. I had been out of my mind with alcohol for 30 days. And when I went to this preacher's home, he didn't sit down and say, well, now, Cecil, you know that alcohol is a bad thing. Or he could have told me a lot of things about myself that I was guilty of. But he did not. He kept pointing me to the cross. He kept telling me that God loved me. And that was a thing that was so hard for me, an alcoholic, to understand. How could God love anybody like me? But, dear friends, he does. And you say, Cecil, did you know what I did? I killed a man a long time ago. The Lord can forgive that if you repent. You said, but I'm a homosexual. Well, God can forgive that and save you. Or if you're a drug addict or an alcoholic or a harlot, doesn't make any difference what sin you're guilty of. I'll guarantee you, if you repent of it and turn your back on it, Jesus can save you and give you a new life. Faith, if it hath not works, is dead. Their faith is counterfeit. It is not trusting Christ alone. It is called faith, but it is not faith. Faith in Christ always brings a new life. And I read in John 3:3-5. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. There are no exception. And I'll tell you something else, beloved. Jesus turns no one away. I read in John 6:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I shall in no wise cast out. You know, friends, I was just a baby Christian. I've been a Christian about 2 years. And I went to this alcoholic's house. And he was sitting there drinking a Bud Light, and his wife was saved about a week or two, or maybe 3 or 4 weeks before that. And he said to me, he said, "Well, what's wrong with drinking a beer?" I said, "Dear friend, I'm not here to talk about you drinking a beer. I just come to tell you how you can find a better life." "Well, all right, so I can find a better life." I said, "That's right." Now, then he asked me a question, and there was an older Christian lady in that house that really saved my embarrassment. He said, "How do you know that God will save me if I ask him?" Well, my mind went blank just for a moment, and this dear lady said, "Well, Cecil, you remember that scripture where he said, 'He that cometh to me, I'll no wise cast.'" I said, "That's right." Through that scripture, that man knelt with me and that his wife and my wife and this other lady and invited Christ into his heart. That verse of scripture, because see, a lot of people think because they're bad sinners that God won't save them. A sinner is a sinner. Now, that's all there is to it. Now, this invitation is for whosoever. I told you the story about I was pastoring a church in Oregon many, many years ago. And this guy and his wife came with a member of my church. And while I was preaching, friends, this guy, 6'6", jumped up right out of his chair. And he said, "Hey, preacher, did I hear you say that your church or your denomination is the only one going to heaven?" I said, "The Bible said, whosoever will may come," and went right on to preaching. That night, I had the privilege of introducing him and his wife to Christ. You see, here was a man that was observing the law. He was going to church on a different day, and he said that we were wrong, that we should be going to church on Saturday. And I said, "I'm not here. Listen, and you may be a Seventh Day Adventist," and you say, "Cecil, I'm mad at you." Don't be mad at me. I don't worship the Lord because of a day. I worship the Lord because he's the Son of God and because he died for you and he died for me. Now, Romans 10:13, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Whether you're a Catholic, whether you're a Protestant, whether you're a Jehovah's Witness, I don't care what you call yourself. If you want to go to heaven, you'll have to do what Paul said in Romans 10:13. "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Faith that is merely intellectual agreement does not save. Now I read in James 2:19, "You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder." Demons believe that there is one God. They tremble when they think about it. Their acceptance of the fact doesn't help them. One can agree with the facts of the gospel and still be lost. Ever since I was a child, I believed that there was a God, but I didn't know Jesus. And you cannot, beloved, you cannot be saved apart from Jesus. Now, he is the only way into heaven. I used to think when I was a little boy, even when I was an alcoholic, that someday I'd get to go to heaven because I might have some good works. But I didn't have any good works. See, that's why you can't get to heaven by good works. Because Jesus died for our sins because he knew good works couldn't get us into heaven. You can't buy your way in. You can't join a church and get to heaven. You can't be baptized and get to heaven. Baptism is merely an act of obedience, not to do with salvation. You're baptized after you've been saved, not to be saved. Intellectual assent is really not faith. It is like another gospel. Look at Paul's in Galatians 1:6. "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all." One must move from facts to faith to be saved. James 2:21. "Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar?" You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled. It says, "Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend." You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. One who places faith in Christ as Savior has a living faith. It is not a mere profession. It is not counterfeit. This is biblical faith. It is a sinner's response to God's love shown at the cross. It is trusting Jesus like a faith of a child. You know, in prison, many, many times I tell the inmates, men, you could pray the sinner's prayer 100,000 times, and you can be baptized 100 times. You can be dipped, sprinkled, hit in the face, whatever. But unless you repent, unless there's godly sorrow in your heart for what you've done to Jesus. Because the Bible said we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us. I don't care how good you think you are, how spiritual you think you are. If you're not born again, you're lost a goose in the grass. And that is what the Bible says. Didn't say about the goose in the grass. That's my interpretation. I know people listening to this broadcast that fall in the category of a head believer. They believe that because they belong to a church or was baptized as a baby or have been confirmed that when you die, you'll go to heaven. Jesus again said, ye must be born again. Is God's Holy Spirit knocking at the door of your heart tonight? If you're not sure where you spend eternity and you want to trust Christ as your Savior, do me a favor, dear friends, would you? Just a little favor. Bow your head right now. Just bow your head right now. Please, please do not pray this prayer if you do not mean it. That's making mockery of what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. It's dangerous to do things like that. But if you're sincere and you really feel the tugging of God's Holy Spirit on your heart, then you have a right to bow your head and pray this simple prayer that I'm going to lead you in. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm sorry for all the things that I've done to you. I'm sorry, Lord, for what I've done to my family and my friends. The best way I know how, Lord, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Beloved, if you prayed that simple prayer from a sincere, repentant heart, I want you to call 303-471-8534. That's 303-471-8534. No, you're not going to get to heaven because you have good works, and you're not going to get to heaven by keeping the law. You're saved by grace through faith. That's the only way you can be saved. And beloved, listen to me. It's a gift. God stands with outstretched arms tonight. Say, I want to give you this gift. Open your heart. Let me come in, and I'll take out the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. You give me a call, will you?